You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey Siri, give me H-Town Soccer.
Talking all things Houston Dynamo FC. This is the official Dynamo Theory Podcast. We are Forever Orange.
Yeah, look, today is the first day, and it was just about setting up expectations, setting up goals, and make sure that players know what we're going to be asking for them on the field, inside the facility, behaviors. So it was just more of a setting up what we would like for them to be changing, or we would like them to be doing it. And you know, it's a process. It's not, we can't give all the information the first day. I think the information has to come in different times and beats, and that's what we're going to try to do. So we always evolving as a team, but As a today, I think it was more of a setting expectations, setting how we wanted to work, how we would like to see, how we would like to see on a daily basis, and that's what we did today.
What up, H-Town? Welcome to another episode of the official Dynamo Theory Podcast. My name is Rudy Segura, and I am joined by Cristian Putalias and Rodrigo Segura. Guys, I hope all this Dynamo news have you plenty excited. But before we jump into it, Cristian, can you tell the people how to contact us?
Yeah, for sure, man. What's up, everybody? Welcome once again to another episode. You can always get at us at Dynamo Theory on IG and Twitter. You can send us an email if you feel like it at dynamotheorypodcast@gmail.com. You can find me at Chris Putalias. You can find Rudy at RudySegura3. You can find Rodrigo at RodrigoSegura01. And like always, you can find everything on dynamotheory.com. Don't forget, we have two player interviews. We talked to Marcelo Palomino and Memo. So, you know, go check those out. You know, we talk about their expectations for, you know, for the new year, and, you know, just a little bit about, you know, the previous years. So go check those out. Those were really, really fun talks. And like always, you get the breakfast links every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from all the guys here at Dynamo Theory. Just a quick little stories of what's going on in the world of soccer, like literally at home and the MLS and abroad. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And again, we had so much news this beautiful Tuesday morning. It started with the training, preseason training camp beginning at Houston Sports Park. And finally, after about a week, guys, we finally, they announced Sebastian Ferreira as our new striker. Yeah, finally. Rodrigo, I'll start with you. What was your first impressions, you know, of the guy that, you know, we've seen his numbers, but what do you think so far?
Hey, I'm like everybody. I'm excited that we finally, it was confirmed, announced, everything. That's great. Yeah, we waited. I feel like it's been months since we kind of knew that this was coming. At least that's what it felt like, since we hadn't sent anybody. I'm excited. You know, watching him, I've been watching some of his highlight reels, you know, Copa Libertadores and Paraguay and what he did in Mexico. And he looks like a pretty solid forward. He can, looks like he can score from anywhere. And then, he, you know, like some of the highlights I've seen, he kind of gives me that Fernando Torres vibe of like, you know, his back against the goal and then just kind of turn and like a quick volley. And he just finds the net, you know, looks like a pretty solid player. I think he will do pretty well in the MLS.
Yeah, I was, Cristian, I was hoping to do another version of meme tweets just because, you know, it seemed like at one point everything was getting crapped on. And what's funny is when I look, dude, you would not be surprised how positive overall social media was. You know, I guess they finally saw that, you know, the team and the owner is willing to spend some money, man. How does that make you feel as a Dynamo fan?
I mean, obviously good. You know, I think everybody's feeling the same way, you know, just the fact that, you know, we're seeing kind of like, because that's not the only thing that happened today. I don't know if you guys want to jump the gun, but, you know, a bunch of things happens today. So, you know, we got him signing, and then we also have, like, you know, some other stuff that's been going on later on in the day. So it's not only like just one person coming in. Yeah, I mean, a DP striker, which everybody wants, and that's what we got. You know, we added a bunch of different positions in the technical side of the game. So now we're kind of adding positions into, like, the, you know, the game itself. So, I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, I'm already looking forward to the next guy, honestly, because I think they've been throwing hints, you know, here and there that we might be getting another person. So I think, you know, the fact that we talked about Sebastian so much, you know, I'm still excited, you know, for him and about him. I'm still excited about Thor and, like, what he can do and stuff like that. But I'm excited for the next guy as well. So,
yeah. And obviously, before we jump to, like, the next guy was to come, because we're definitely going to touch on it, you know, referring to Sebastian Ferreira, period. Obviously, the press release that we got early in the morning was that he was the most expensive signing in club history. That right there is very meaningful, right? I mean, we're not necessarily sure, and they may not really tell us how much they spent, just because, you know, some people try to keep all that stuff disclosed, so that, you know, as much as we want to play GM, that doesn't happen often. But again, Ted is willing to spend, which is great. I think, and one of the things that we learned after the fact was there was a press conference pretty much after their first practice. So we got to hear from Ferreira. I think what we can take away from Ferreira is that he was seemed to be very happy to be approached by the Dynamo weeks before, you know, after his season was over. And being here, he looks like he's very, you know, interested in the project at hand. And he looked like he fell in right away. You know, the group just took him in. I'm sure you guys saw on social media, you know, he had pictures with Fafa, or he having fun, you know. So it's good that vibe is there. Christian?
Yeah, one thing that also caught my attention is that somebody in the press conference asked him about the pressure, like feeling the pressure of being a designated player. Obviously, no other league has that, you know. Everybody's just, you know, well, you know, they spend so much money, obviously, on you. Well, you know, obviously, it's going to be important. Like, for example, Grealish going to Man City, $100 million. So, obviously, you're going to expect, you know, a lot from a guy that was spent $100 million on. And it's kind of, obviously, the same thing happened here, obviously, to a very, very minuscule, whatever you call it.
A baby, but, Man, you know, City. I ain't got exactly, you.
Yeah, you were like the Newcastle of MLS, basically. So right now we're spending, but, you know, that's a lot of pressure for a guy that, first of all, doesn't know the league, you know, brand new, doesn't even know the language, you know, and he's just fresh off the boat, basically. And he's a young guy, you know, 23 years old. You know, you would think a lot of people would kind of like feel the pressure and kind of like, well, I mean, we don't know how he's going to respond, right? Because we still haven't seen, you know, him play at all. But he was talking about how he likes that pressure. He enjoys being, you know, pressured or having that DP title on him. He enjoys, you know, all this attention he's kind of getting because he's one of the biggest signings in the club history. And he enjoys that, and he, like, accepts the fact that, you know, people are expecting a lot from him. And he's like, I want that. He's like, I want people to pressure me. I want people to want, like, big things from me, because he's like, I think I can give it, you know, I can give it back to the team. So I love his attitude already. So I'm just waiting for him to, like, you know, step on the field and show up, basically.
Yeah, I think we're again, very excited for that. Rodrigo, anything else you want to add on Sebastian, you know, so far?
Yeah, just kind of hit on what Christian just mentioned about, you know, not feeling or like feeling the pressure as a DP. I feel like from a fan base perspective, you know, that pressure, it's actually not, I wouldn't say the worst pressure you can have, because he's a young player. I feel like if we were signing a DP that's already like 34 years old,
like, you know, a Chicharito, like, right? And yeah, scoring like 2 goals.
True.
Yeah, I think that would have a lot more pressure of, you know, paying off your price tag. In this scenario, I feel like, you know, he's young. We can give him a good chance, opportunity, and, you know, through the seasons to come. I mean, he signed to, what, 2025 with an option of 26. So that's enough time for him to grow with the club, I feel like.
Yeah. So we'll jump now to a little bit of what we saw, I guess, glimpses of Paulo Nagamura, right? Obviously, he steps in for his first major league soccer or first division coaching period. And the glimpses that we got to see, that little video that the Dynamo showed, I felt, you know, it was very impressive the way he was out there, you know, talking to the team and kind of what he expected, even if it's only 40 seconds that we heard. I feel some people were, I did see some disappointed people of like, oh, he's lacking motivation.
Not people. One guy.
And, but, you know, to the, at the end of the day, I saw it and I was like, dude, this guy right away, you know, 38 years old, is showing that he is, he's able to command a team. You know, I think having the same roster, which is something that Tim Parker mentioned in his little conference, was, you know, you do have, there was a very good, what is it called? What do they call it? You know what I'm talking about. there was a good dynamic of the, a good group. That's where I was going with. There's a good group that, you know, now a new coach comes in, fresh start for everybody. You know, you're hoping the people that were injured are getting healthier. It just looks good, right? Because again, you, as a coach, I think people do miss the fact that, you know, whenever you have a bigger club, like you see a Pochettino in PSG, I feel like he doesn't do much because there's so many guys that are, you know, top notch. I mean, you have Neymar, you have Mbappe, you have, you know, there you're really just managing people. And even then, I don't think it's something easy to do. But whenever you're a good coach and you can come in and, you know, you have a roster and you can see the strengths of different players and you are able to improve it, I think that's a huge thing. And that's kind of what I'm expecting from it. I don't know about you, Christian, but
yeah. So like two things that kind of stood out to me that we can probably expand on. One of them was how, well, I guess three things. One of them was about how he doesn't have a captain yet. You know, even though we did have a captain and we're kind of coming in with basically the same group, he still said, you know, I'm still not picking a captain. I still have to get to know these guys and, you know, see who the real leader is, you know, because, you know, we would say,
definitely.
Maybe, you know, we had Boniek. Obviously, he's not here no more. Maybe Tim Parker. But, you know, I like the fact that, you know, he just didn't say off the bat, you know, this is my guy. This is my captain. This is my
right
referente, you know, how they say.
So, well, you know, that's a good one before you jump into your other one, you forget. You know, who would be your captain?
Oh, good one.
Yeah. That would be a question we can ask.
Let me think.
All right, but okay, fine. You can keep going on your other points.
All right. Unless Rodrigo has one. Do you have one? No.
What? All right.
I mean, I have what I would. I don't know. It depends. Like, I'm trying to see. Obviously, off the bat, if you're starting him every game, would be Quintero. I feel like, you know, or either Quintero or Clark. I mean, you know, so as an experienced goalkeeper and especially having younger guys in the defense, I can kind of see that. But at the same time, when a goalkeeper is a captain, you can't do that much, you know, talking to the to everybody. So true. I would take Quintero with just the experience, or at least somebody that can be in the center mid.
Right. Yeah. I'll say my possible ones because I was thinking also the goalie Sack. Is it Sack? No, Steven, right? Yeah. I don't know where I got Sack from. Okay.
That's the goalie coach.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm tripping because Tim Parker was talking about Sack in the thing, and I confused him. Okay, but yeah, I would put the sack. I would put the goalkeeper, right?
Yeah, just I got you.
Because he's a goalkeeper, and usually he you know, and we know him. He's a guy that, you know,
he's a winner, man.
Exactly, and he wants respect. He commands, you know, his defense well. I would say Tim Parker, but honestly, I just don't feel it. You know,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I think he still has to show a little bit more in the field.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he could still be replaceable in my eyes. Same thing with Sarek Valentin.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we like the guy, you know, I think he still also needs competition.
Yeah.
And he needs to like step up his game a little bit more. Just because, like, you know, Rodrigo was saying, you want a guy that's going to play 90 minutes every single game, or most of it at least. You know, you want a guy that's going to be in the field at all times. I would say Matias Vera, but then again, how does he communicate with everybody? You know, I think he was captain for a little while.
And that's who I would go for. I would go for a Mati Vera, just because, you know, I think when a new coach comes in, and I think we're spending too much time on this, but when a new coach comes in, you know, everybody gets a new set of eyes. And I think, you know, from the work rate that Mati brings, I think that's how he became the captain when he did under Cabrera. And to me, it would be him. Or if you're going to go with, you know, someone that we spoke, Memo's been there for a long time. So if they can find, you know, a starting spot for him, that he should be the captain in my eyes as well. That's the thing.
And then just to close off, I would say Fafa. Okay. I think Fafa has earned his minutes and he has earned his leadership. I think I was gonna say the bedroom, but it's actually the locker room.
That's the word that I was looking for that I stuttered for like locker a million. Room? Yes,
this guy.
Anyways,
second point that nobody has a starting job. Mm-hmm. He said, "It doesn't matter how we ended. Now everybody has to fight." And you know, going back to, you know, a cheap plug, talking to Memo and Palomino. And both of the guys talked about, you know, fighting for a role, fighting for a position, fighting for to get back into the starting 11, or if not, to be, you know, a sub that can always be counted on. Obviously, you want to be a starting guy, but, you know, if you can sit, be on the bench and be counted on, you know, as much as possible, then, you know, that's another option. But I like the fact that, you know, the guys are going to have to fight for their position. Nothing is given. It has to be earned. So I like that. And then my third point, which I completely forgot, but, you know, we can leave it at that.
Yeah,
I remember.
Well, no, I think. Let me guess it. Was it the fact that he mentioned, you know, some of the possible positions he may look into bringing?
No.
Which was all right, but even building on that yeah. You know, Paulo Nagamura did mention that he was looking into bringing a midfielder and possibly a winger. And whenever you mention about, you know, no one's job is, you know, it's set, right? He called it no one has a season ticket for their position. You know, that's a quote directly from him. But in the sense of if he is, you know, again, everybody has a new opportunity. What if, you know, we right now right back would be Sadiq Ballentine. But what if, you know, Ian Hoffman is actually going to perform well and wins that spot? I think we're kind of, as fans, that we kind of see it from afar and see kind of the pieces that, you know, we may want. You know, I feel like there's still like a lot of, you know, internal competition that's going to happen. They will take time, right, Rodrigo? But if he's saying a midfielder and a winger, you know, who would you prefer out of that, you know, for them to bring in, Rodrigo?
If we're bringing somebody else, I think we're going to need somebody like a right wing, right back, somebody that can play on the right. If I look at the lineup right now, I can only think two people that I'll be comfortable. Well, not even comfortable. Okay, so this is going to be my take on who could be playing on those positions, depending on what I like. But I would say like Dorsey. You know, if you're going to try to give some competition, when they played the five in the back, I guess you can say, he was kind of that piece there. And he didn't do, you know, a bad of a job. I think that'll give a little bit more competition to Sack. But I don't know. And then if you're thinking about the attack, I think Memo can even play as a right winger. I think he's played left wing in the past, you know, mostly obviously center mid, but I don't know. I'll put him out there.
Yeah, Memo doesn't prefer that position, like the wings.
I don't know. I'm looking at options. Mid is pretty stacked.
Well, and I was going to say, honestly, he may not like that position, but he excelled in that position. When we had Arvertelis on the in the wing and Mauro Manotas on top, and Memo would play that left wing, and he scored a few goals just because of that. And you never know. Now you have Fafa and you have Ferreira. What that could happen again? You know, you just never know. one thing that Pat Onstad was, and I'm going to read this directly from the press conference. He was asked about, you know, what message was being sent by bringing in Sebastian Ferreira. And we'll kind of move on because I just want to mention that he said, what it says is that Ted Siegel is going to follow through as a man of his word. He's going to follow through on what he mentioned the first time he came here. So the nice thing is that he's giving us the resources to make this team better and stronger, and we'll continue to do that. And that transitions to the fact that also another thing that happened today was we were able to gain a international roster spot via a trade. Seems we keep taking things from San Jose. I don't know what that's about, but, you know. But, no, it's good. So that right there, it already gives you a drive that they're going to look for another, probably a DP, right? What do you guys think, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, there's two, you know, you get to have three, so we only have one. Why not, you know, fill those spots? You know, you have a guy that is going to give you the money. Pat mentioned, you know, that he gave him like a certain amount of money. And by buying Sebastian, they spent, you know, an amount, and they still have some left over. So, you know, they were happy at the fact that, you know, they're able to use that leftover money, you know, to maybe bring another guy. So why not, you know, hire or get a guy that's going to not only compete, but, you know, give you not a peace of mind, but, you know, give you that satisfaction of having a second DP, you know, style player. And, you know, more competition for everybody. And I think, you know, like Rodrigo was saying, I think we need it. I think competition makes everybody better. And yeah, I mean, bring as many guys as you can, obviously, to make the team better, not just to like bring in guys to sit on the bench and have like mediocre, you know, players all across the board. You want somebody to stand out and for the other guys under him to try to get better than him to, you know, to get that position back. So I'm excited. I'm excited at the moves. I mean, we never seen these moves ever. I don't think I've ever been this
money moves, man. Money moves. Exactly. For sure. Yeah.
Like Asher, you know, having Asher, you know, in his position, he's just been making like moves left and right. I mean, in one day you get a DP, you get another, you know, possibility for another guy. I mean, what else can we expect? You know, like,
yeah. Ready. And again, the negativity kind of has to leave the room because things is happening, right? We've asked for change. We asked for, you know, for a while for what's happening, you know, to take advantage of what Houston is. And I think so far, I don't think there's nothing that has been done incorrectly, right? Maybe some people may see it as Ferreira did get, you know, he was scouted definitely before Nagamura was hired, but he did mention how, you know, they gave me a list. They told me kind of a few of the players that they were looking at. And at the end of the day, they allowed me to pick, you know, the player that I was most interested that would fit my system. So that right there, it tells you a lot. I mean, if you guys remember how, you know, the last regime came in to be like Tab Ramos, they kind of threw in Darwin. And then what happened? He never played Darwin for a while, too. So you don't want, we don't, I mean, and we'll judge it right away, right? If it's, you know, first couple of games in the season and Ferreira's on the bench healthy, we're definitely going to question that. But I don't think that's going to be the case, right? Rodrigo, anything else you want to add on just kind of how we're finally seeing, you know, the wheels on this train, you know, going finally after, like you mentioned, and it kind of picked up some speed of, you know, we finally had all the right staff together, the Avengers, you know, kind of helping the Dynamo push along, man.
Yeah, I'll just follow up with this about Ted and, you know, being the new owner and spending more. And we obviously, as fans, we love it. But we got to understand, you know, Ted's also a businessman. That's the reason he bought it, even though, you know, he might love team, love soccer. But he understands that in order to run a business and make it profitable, you're going to have to invest in it. And every business, you know, for at least the first 5 years, it's a losing money for him. Just all about investing. And I think that's a very important thing that we see early on with him, that he is going to invest. He's going to take it to the next level. At least that's what we hope. And obviously he wants a return in his investment as well. And that makes everybody happy because at least he's investing. You know, he's not taking over a club. that's already making money and it's steadily growing. You know, if anything, this last 2 years just showed us how bad the Dynamo has been, and with the fans too, you know, people not showing up to games anymore, season ticket holder members dropping, you know, so obviously he wants to bring that back. So it's great that he's bringing new faces in, you know, new players in, and trying to sign us the, I guess, the best potential we can have. But that's just kind of wanted to add on that.
Yeah. One last thing. Also, when I trust Pat when he says, you know, our goal is to make it to the playoffs. Like never before, I trust him. I don't know why. Like, you know, previous years, you know, everybody would say, oh, yeah, our goal is to make it to the playoffs this year. And I, you know, you just kind of sit there. You're like, well, you know, if we can fight for at least to get the last spot, you know, that's where we would settle. But I think I believe him. I believe, like, you know, he wants that. I believe he's going to, like, push all these guys to get there. And I think, you know, by Ted pushing Paolo and Paolo pushing the players, I think it's doable. So I'm excited to be in the playoffs. I've never seen the Dynamo in the playoffs myself, so it's going to be a first for me. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it feels like a long time ago. Trust me, man. I think the last time we went was in 2017. It's definitely been a bit.
And I just don't feel like we've ever had a, like, even this last year, I don't think it's a bad team. It was obviously bad management, you know, a bad head coach maybe, or decision-making. But, like, as far as the team goes, you look at it, it's, yes, it's not the best, but it's not bad. I mean, even that winless streak we had, that were really close games.
For sure. It could go either way. Yeah.
Bad decision-making where, you know, you're allowed 5 substitutes and you only use 2.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck, you know, and like
the last 10 minutes.
And not to crush like the, you know, obviously the past regime, but even before that, I think you're dead on by saying the fact that it seems right now to me, looking at it, you know, you have the right squad, you have the right coaching staff. Before it seemed like you had good players, bad coaching, good players, you know, it was never like a line. If you believe in like how the stars align, I think you're kind of getting that now. I think the ability to make the squad that you have a playoff squad is there. I think, you know, a lot of these guys have plenty of experience. If you go, you know, down the roster, most of these guys have played in playoffs and have, you know, push and help their team. So we're going to see, you know, this is how we're going to see what Nagamura can bring. And myself, I'm sure you guys are too. I'm super excited about it. And I think I'm very optimistic that this year will be the year that we make it to the playoffs.
Yes. Shout out to Senor Gol.
Yeah. Senor Gol. I don't know if you want to come party with us.
No,
man.
But I want to give a shout out to, I think it was Dago on Twitter that he wanted a shout out. So this is a shout out especially for him.
Yeah. Hey, you guys interact with us on Twitter, on Instagram. Definitely give us a love on Instagram. We're trying to build that puppy up. That's the Christian and my kid, basically. So.
Mostly Rudy. I get visitations on the weekends.
Right, visitations, man. But no, so we're super excited. Like I said, you know, it seems like we may end up getting a few more players being picked up. Who knows if they'll be all DP? Maybe they feel that that's all they need. You know, to add maybe a couple, you know, big high quality players, but we'll take a quick little break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. And so, you know, again, there's not a lot of movement at the end of the day happening. We have a lot of the same players, but we thought it would be a cool little exercise in honor and, you know, of like Marcelo Palomino falling out of that chair and beating everybody on FIFA. And we decided that, you know, we know that Paulo Nagamura likes to play a 4-3-3. We kind of tweaked it a bit. It's a four. I guess it'd be like a 4-2-3-1 be the lineup that we decided to kind of go with. But I made the roster based on what FIFA. And if you guys are FIFA players, if you've never heard of So FIFA, do you guys, Rodrigo, do you go into SoFIFA.com? Great website. Again, if you're a FIFA guy, because it tracks, it's basically like a big database of every player in FIFA. And so it gives you like all the rankings. Yeah, it's nerdy, man. Like, I'm not a numbers guy, but it's good if you want to know, you know, who you can pick, you know, for whatever team you're playing on. But anyways, so this is the lineup that we're going with. So I'm going to give the lineup that FIFA basically says is the best. And I got Rodrigo and Christian to pick, or I guess some of the players may be the same, right? But maybe they have different variations. So we can kind of go each position at a time. Is that cool? Is that good?
Let's do it.
All right. Yep. So FIFA best 11 for the Houston Dynamo. Currently, we would have Steve Clark on goal. What do you guys think about that? I mean, there's
sounds right.
I think it's
there's not too many options.
Where you brought him in.
not too many options, obviously, to pick from. Nothing against the KD kid. I'm not talking about Christian, but
KD.
But obviously, I think you're bringing.
I haven't gotten a call yet, so
right.
I guess he can go and goal.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Rodrigo's DMs are open. He's an animal, so
he'll work for TAM money. You don't have to give him DP money. Anything higher than
I'll count as a DP though.
Right, that's true.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said I'll count as a DP though. I'm out.
Yeah, that's true. But so again, Nelson, that, you know, I mean, sorry, yeah, Nelson does not stand a chance currently because Clark, at the end of the day, you know, comes from a playing on the final, and obviously he didn't win, but I mean, you take that over anything else on the roster. So right, going to the right back position, FIFA has it as Sarek Ballentin being the starter. Christian, who would be your starter there?
Yeah, same thing. I think, well, because he has no competition. I mean, no disrespect to Hoffman, but you know, he's still a young cat, so I think he still has to earn his minutes. He might even end up playing that, you know, Dynamo Dos. So who knows?
Rodrigo, what about you? And again, this is just you. You're the coach. You know, who would you put in?
So, yeah, I mean, I kind of went with him as well. But this is where I kind of, like I mentioned earlier, drifted off. I don't know. We'll try Dorsey out there, see how he does.
I could see that, yeah. He did play just, that a few times.
Or just to give him competition as well, you know.
True.
Yeah, you're right. He played – we saw Griffin Dorsey played it a lot when they were playing with a five in the back. So I could see him playing in a four as well. All right. So we'll have our, I guess, this right-sided center back. FIFA has Tim Parker being the starter. Christian?
Yep. Because this guy.
I'm trying to think what's my right.
Lefty.
Yeah. That's funny. Rodrigo was just trying to figure out which one was left and right. But yeah, I got Tim Parker. Same thing. There's no really, other than Stettis, there's no really competition for the center back position other than us. Stettis and what's the name of it? Barlow.
Yeah.
I think those are the only two guys that could compete for that. Right. And Barlow, you know, he's still too young. Or not young, but you know, he hasn't had any minutes yet in the first team. Yeah. He hasn't made his debut because he was injured,
yeah.
And then Stettis, you know, I don't know much about him, but you know, I would just go Tim Parker because I know who he is. But
Rodrigo, what about you?
Same thing, yeah. I think that's kind of like the obvious choice there too.
All right, so
no, I was trying to determine the what side you said right. I'm like Hadibi, you know, which one, and then I was thinking they're, you know, because Hadibi's left footed, right?
Right.
So I was thinking, okay, well, he needs to play on the left, so that's why I was like,
Well, that leads me to Teenage Hadebe, which I'm sure that was your starting left center back or left-sided center back. I'm sorry. But, you know, again, I'm sure that you guys both have the same guy. But what I'm going to just mention is the fact that, you know, in the press conference, it was kind of brought up that, you know, asking Tim Parker is like pretty much like, hey, you guys, you and Teenage get paid like the most, you know, in the league, not just on the team, but in the league. That's crazy. Does that give you like, shouldn't you, basically they were kind of thrown under the bus by saying, shouldn't you guys be better? But I mean, I think we do expect a lot from them, right? I think they're both very talented. I think they have different ways to play the game, but for us to be this season coming up, for us to challenge the playoff spot, we're going to have that competition be fierce. Like you mentioned, whether it be with Daniel Stedes or Ethan Barlow or whoever, maybe they end up picking up as well. But then we move to left back. Left back, I was going to say I have, but no, it was FIFA. FIFA has Adam Lundqvist being the starting center left back. Does that commute with you guys as well, Christian?
Yeah, yeah. Lundy is my boy. I can't pronounce his name, but he's my boy.
What about you, Rodrigo?
No, I was going to say same thing. I would have to go with Adam. And it, like, I know we're talking like the best scenario. I feel for like the defensive part, it's pretty spot on everybody. But at the same time, I feel as if we don't have enough depth. So that might be an issue later on, you know, well, injuries and things
and,
like that.
And I know what Christian's trying to jump in so bad, because I was going to say, I'm like really interested in Sam Junkwa in that position as well, guys. But Christian, what do you want to add?
Sam Junkwa is a center back.
Oh, yeah. But
he's not that bad.
No, I think that's what helps him. He's eyed on every position he plays, so you can definitely kind of move him elsewhere. But where would you put Hadebe? Like, would you put Hadebe instead of Parker?
No.
If you're playing in the four.
I would leave Teenage, but because I was just thinking, like, we don't have any other center back.
That's true.
You know, what if something happens to Teenage, you know, God forbid. But, you know, he could replace him because he's a lefty. And you'd rather have a lefty on that left side just because it makes it easier to play, I guess.
All right. Moving into the midfield, again, it was really setting with two central midfielders, two defensive midfielders. They're basically playing central. The Dynamo or FIFA calls out the best central midfielder to be Matias Vera. Are you guys cool with Matias Vera, Christian? Is he making your lineup?
That's my other boy. I have two boys. No, Matias Vera for sure. I think he's an undisputed starter. You know, like the Adidas one, it was like Matias Vera plus 10 type thing. That's how it would be.
That's how you just told everybody we're old. But anyways, Rodrigo.
Right?
Especially because that's what my gamer tag on like Xbox is based off of.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, that's how old I am. Damn, I've had that for a long time.
Well, that was 2002.
Yeah, exactly.
Vera. Vera for sure. Just also that updated contract kind of has to be there. You just can't keep him on the bench, and I feel like he's part of the, I guess, leadership team, you know, that needs to be on the field
for sure. And I think like we mentioned that in the past, I think it's hard to know where Vera is best. I think, is he an 8, is he a 6? I mean, the guy has even gone up all the way up to score a goal. And so
here's my question, because I think, like, for example, obviously this is dumb, probably.
No, I know where you're going with this.
I don't know.
A five?
Yeah, exactly. A five.
I know my Argentinian people.
A six is a center back.
Yeah.
You know, for us, the two is the right back, and the six is the left center back. And then you have the three on the left, like left back, and the four on the right back.
Yeah, because you have like number five being like Fernando Gago, Redondo, Mascherano. Yeah. Of course, man, I know.
Killer, you know?
Yeah.
That's what Matias Vera is.
another.
But, okay, yeah, my question. Sorry. But okay, so for you guys, or for the, I guess, the world in general, for the MLS people or the Americans or whatever, the 8 and the 6, which one stays back and which one goes forward? Or they both do the same function?
Technically, the 6. The 6 is the one that sits back.
Okay.
The 8 is kind of little box to box, basically.
Gotcha.
That's what I in Mexico, about. We do refer as a 5 too, basically.
Yeah.
We're really not necessarily a 6.
America. Yeah, always right. Changing everything.
But okay, so going back to, I guess, another number 6 or number 5.
Yeah.
Being Coco Carrasquilla. It's the next one that FIFA kind of has ranked the highest to be in that position. Does that work with you, Rodrigo?
Yeah.
Yep. That's honestly, that's who I have. And I think that's the better player right now. Or had a good moment to end the season, and then he's been playing really well with Panama.
What about you, Christian?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's the attacking mid, and then Mati is obviously the defensive one.
You know, whenever Nagamura mentions about getting a midfielder, I think that's who he's planning to replace. I think
Coco?
That from the interviews I've heard of Coco, you know, in Panama and stuff, he just doesn't seem bought in. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems that he's here. Obviously, he's going to do his part. He's a professional. But when I say I don't think he's bought in, I think he really wants to go back to Europe. You know, I mean, the guy is 23. You know, he feels that he can play. So I think that may be the option that, you know, you never know. Maybe Marcelo Palomino has the opportunity to play that. I mean, we saw him play in that position.
That's true.
Anyways, I mean, I think he's a great player. I love seeing Coco play. You know, got to see him live a bunch of times as well on TV. And he definitely became one of my favorite players right off the bat. But again, you know, seeing some interviews, he just doesn't seem like super bought into the team and the project from interviews that happened recently.
He was like a loan, right?
Yeah, he's on loan. He's on loan till I think June.
Oh, okay.
So
he might flip after that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what's going to end up happening. And I don't think, I mean, if he's not bought in, I don't know if the Dynamo will end up, you know, paying his release clause, which I think is actually a pretty hefty. I mean, I think they mentioned it was like almost 8-10 million.
Oh,
so
no.
Wasn't we just, like Madrid looking at him
at one point. Yeah, yeah, Madrid wanted him. Obviously, that all kind of faded. But at the end of the day, he may not have a choice. He may have to stay. You just don't know. Exactly. But you know, again, he's one of those guys. And then attacking midfielder. I mean, you guys are going to guess who the FIFA thought was the best, but it'd be Darwin Quintero.
My boy.
And, did we just become best friends?
Right.
But Darwin Quintero being that central, you know, pivot from the midfield to the striker or the forwards. What do you think, Christian? Is that who you would pit?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I always said, you know, it's not that I don't like, or it's not that I don't think he's talented. It's just that I didn't like his certain attitude. But the guy, like, he can still ball. So put him in as a number 10. You know, don't let him. I mean, the thing is that, you know, what bothered me was that he wasn't defensive enough. But it was probably because of the style that I guess Tab Ramos wanted. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Nagamura?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking Nagasaki or something. But I'm pretty sure Nagamura is going to want also a defensive group. I don't know, because he was talking about being like Cholo Simeone type thing.
Right.
And they're always fighting and running and, you know, everything. But maybe he, you know, having those two guys behind him, he could have a little bit more freedom of just like attacking instead of doing a lot of defending. But I think that's a perfect spot, like a number 10. I think that would be the perfect spot for Quintero to create and also create for himself.
Yeah. Rodrigo?
Yeah, definitely Quintero. And I think he does bring that high pressure sometimes, you know, I guess in the defensive role. And he tracks back, I guess, what he's comfortable with, I would say. But at the same time, I feel like it's a position that when you have a player that doesn't track back as much, you want him to stay up more, especially a player like him. Because it makes their, you know, it kind of takes some defenders out or players out just to try to mark them more. I don't know.
I'll add on Quintero. I think his best year with the Dynamo was playing out in the left wing, but he has, you know, he's an attacking midfielder. And what I would add is start him. For the love of God, just give him the opportunity to just start. Do not. He's not a super sub. We've learned that the hard way. You know, this guy is somebody that wants the ball, right? He wants the ball at his feet. You put it in for the last 5 minutes, you're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah, I know.
And so that's my 2 cents on Quintero. I would definitely start him. And, you know, I think he is right now the best player to start. And then after this, there's 3 positions left, being a left mid, a right mid, and a striker. We'll start with the striker because I think we are all going to be the same, right? Because FIFA would have the newbie, Sebastian Ferreira, starting. So, Christian.
You don't have Thor?
Oh, no, it actually does not have Thor yet.
No, of course. I mean, you have to. Like, it would be stupid if you don't. I would quit. Right? I would quit doing the podcast if he doesn't start first game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the sad part is, in FIFA, he's only like a 72 overall, which is ridiculous. You know, he's probably comes in and he's literally our best player. Quintero's behind him at 71 overall. So when Marcelo Palomino felt bad that his card was only 62, bro, you ain't that far. I mean, look at, you know, some of those guys out here are only like 5 points above you. So, you know, it's even field for sure. But, you know, mentioning Thor, it seems there's a rule. I don't know if you guys saw that Sergio Valentin, replied to Dynamo Theory, and he mentioned how in the MLS you can't have any nicknames on the back of your jersey, which is kind of disappointing because I really wanted to buy a Thor jersey. I mean, that right there is marketing at its finest.
Bitch ass MLS.
But okay, so then the two, I guess, you know, positions left. I think one of them, in this case, I put him on the as a left attacking side, but I think they can be, you know, intermingled, whatever, like interchange. That being Fafa being, you know, one of the wingers, again, whether it be left or right. Fafa being your winger, would you take that, Christian?
Yeah, I would put him on the left wing so he can cut in sometimes.
And yeah, shots. Of course, the dude is the gazelle, man. Like, slow feet don't eat, and he proved the fact that he has that explosive, and bro, he can score. Quick. He is quick. I thought, you know, I think, I don't know who would have won within him and Elise, but I think maybe the gazelle has him beat. Rodrigo, is he still like one of your starter wingers as well?
Of course. I mean, I feel like that's his position. I think he owns, he earned it. He owns it. But yeah, as far as nickname goes, I'm pretty sure you can have it on the back of a jersey now.
Per Sergio Valentin.
Doesn't Fafa have Fafa?
No.
It's true. He does.
He does? Oh. Does he?
Chicharito has Chicharito.
That's true.
Chicharito has Chicharito. Are you
Sarek,
sure?
Yes. Yeah. Sarek, we're not saying you're lying. No. He said if you had...
Oh, your previous club. He said your previous club. Yeah. That's true.
If in the previous club you had the nickname, you are able to keep it. But if not, then...
Okay, so he did say that.
I almost called Sarek a liar.
We forgot, like, the little ending to it. Because he was saying how he can't change... Like, he can just randomly put Sarek in the back of his jersey, which makes sense. But you messed up then, Sarek. You should have put Sarek from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's so true. But, again, I get the last position. FIFA has... what's his name? Baird as the right back or right winger, just because of his overall being better than most.
That's an interesting.
But this is, I think, the one that it gets, like you said, interesting. So, Rodrigo, who would you put as your right wing?
So, like I was saying earlier, I would like Memo, but also Pasher. I think, you know, him being left footed, playing in that right wing kind of helps him out, especially, you know, attacking. Not much as crossing because sometimes, man, I've seen this guy cross. I'm just kidding. Sorry, Pastor, but, you know, you'll be the Canadian Jürgen Damm from Mexico.
Well, he's not going to be in our podcast anytime soon.
He'll get the joke.
Disrespect.
Right. No, I got you, man. No, I think...
Nah, it's a motivation. Work harder. That's it. But yeah, either Pasher or Memo, I think.
And then whenever I went to, was it a game that we were watching? I don't know. I just remember saying we were, you know, chatting in the DT group. And I was like, man, he doesn't have a right foot. And then, bam, he scores a right foot goal. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to shut up and just go to sleep now, for real. But no, I think Pasher is a good one to play out there. And our Memo, like I said, Memo was very good playing on the wing, you know, at a certain point whenever you had already a fast winger being Albertelli and then having a very good striker, Manu Manotas. But all right, main final one. Christian, who are you putting in there?
Well, I had Dorsey, but I think it was just out of inertia. Like I got so used to him being there, and he did a good job, honestly. Like the guy, like, you know, he busted his butt. And honestly, I didn't forget about Pasher. I knew about Pasher. It's just that, you know, with him being injured and not really playing a lot of games, like the games that he played, he played well, but, you know, he wasn't there. So, you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, I can put you down, but are you going to be able to stay healthy? You know, those are the questions that unfortunately a lot of great players, you know, they have that bad luck that, you know, injuries just kind of, you know, get them out of the game, and they're good. They have the quality, they have the talent, you know, they have the dedication or whatever it may be, but, you know, injuries just kind of like sideline them. And it just sucks, you know, like Corey Baird or Pasher, you know, it sucks to have them out, because, you know, we were able to see the glimpses of talent that they had. I mean, Pasher came from a USL to the Dynamo and then being called up to the Canadian national team. And the Canadian national team, you know, maybe years past was trash, but I mean, the Canadian national team nowadays is
pretty loaded. Yeah,
it's becoming a top team in CONCACAF, you know. So it's one of those things. It's a great honor, you know, to be called up. Period. And then he sat on the bench. You know, he didn't play much, but, you know, he came in a year. He put in the work, and he went from the USL to the Canadian team. So
yeah, and I think Pasher, you know, we've had those conversations even with Finster last episode when I mentioned, like, hey, you forgot Pasher. It's like, no, I didn't forget Pasher. But I think we do kind of forget how good he was when he did play. You know, yes, of course, it's unlucky that he was hurt a lot of the time. And in the very beginning, he was criticized, like, oh, well, we only plays good 45 minutes and then he disappeared. It's like, dude, he came from a lower division. You know, it was going to take him some time. But I think the flashes are there. I think he can definitely be, maybe, you know, not a starter at this point if health is an issue, but, you know, give him a good 20, 30 minutes and let him, you know, tear up some ankles, you know, whenever going up field. But I think that was a good exercise. Again, this is just kind of where we're at right now. We don't have a ton of player movement, and I don't expect, or I'll tell you guys as fans, don't expect a huge, you know, clean slate, because it was never going to happen. I think the way that it's being done is the correct way. Just kind of, we trimmed a lot of the fat, right? I think there's some players that are not here anymore that needed to be gone, and maybe even a couple seasons back. So it's good to see all that happening. But we should see. I'm sure we could probably do this exercise again closer to the beginning of the season, just kind of to pick point. We don't even have to go through FIFA. We just can pick point who would you start, you know, maybe once we get some of those preseason matches, and we'll transition into that. So, yeah, we have the schedule came out for the preseason game. There's a lot of games, to be honest. There's 8 games total that the Dynamo are going to play. The very first one that I think I'm very excited, and I will let you guys know that I'll probably be there. I don't know if it'll be open to the public or not, but the Houston Dynamo will be playing Houston Dynamo 2. You know, that right there is interesting altogether, just because you're going to see the reserve team going against, and I'm sure there'll be, you know, Ethan Barlow's, Marcelo Palominos, maybe part of that Houston Dynamo 2. But Christian, just your initial thought on just that game in particular, man.
I'm excited. I'm excited for not only for the Dynamo, but this Houston Dynamo too. I'm excited to follow them as well, because I think, you know, if you like the Dynamo, or like if you're a fan of the Dynamo, you have to keep up with the reserve. You have to, because you have to know what's coming up next. You know, out of this group of guys of Dynamo 2, like, you have to come out with at least 3 to 4 guys that are going to, they have to, and hopefully will be able to contribute to this team in the next 2 to 3 years. So, like, going into this match, you know, you're able to look at guys, write some name downs and be like, okay, let's project, you know, the future for maybe this kid, you know, let's look at this kid. Let's see how, well, obviously we can't do anything about it, but, you know, in hope that the club is going to do everything right by them to get them into that first team and, you know, start building that pipeline. You know, like you were mentioning today in the chat, you know, Atlanta United just signed their, like, what, 17?
13. That's crazy.
13, you know, homegrowns. And
we have 12.
And they've been alive 2-3 years, yeah. You know, like, as a club. And it's just insane. You know, we need to get that going. We need to start pumping that out. And then not only for the team, but as an organization, like, you know, you'll be able to sell those players. You can move them on. And it's just good, you know. It gives a good name to the organization, good reputation, and you get a bunch of kids. And then one day, my kid will play.
And I'll touch up on that what you said, because honestly, it's dead on. I think there was such a big disconnect, right, in the youth. I mean, you know, it's here in Houston, there was like a U23 at a certain point, but it wasn't really doing much for us as like fans, right? Especially because we didn't see much movement. But then going back to like the, you know, very broken system that we had with RGB, it wasn't like we knew that an RGB player was coming to play for Houston, because that never happened, right? We got maybe one or two that, you know, actually started at RGB and landed in Houston, and even then it was very minimal what they showed. But Rodrigo, anything else you want to add on that specific game?
And just, I guess, you know, people that are looking forward to that, I think it's really just going to be two teams for the Dynamo, you know, two different starting 11s of the actual team. I think if, you know, like Palomino and Thor and them.
It's going to be the young guys against the old guys. That's what you're trying to say.
I'm trying to say that it's going to be like the main team that Nagamura is going to have in mind, play the first 45 minutes. And then the second team, you know, with Palomino, Thor, all the new guys coming in, we'll be paying that next 45. I mean, I'm just talking from experience. You know, back in the day, Dominic Kinnear, that's kind of his style of play when we faced him. Got to face, actually, both times I got to face the two, you know, the main, what's it called?
The starting 11, basically.
Yeah, the starting 11. So, damn it, Brad. Still brings bad memories. Nah, he scored a PK on me in what, the first 2 minutes of the game? Yeah, not fun. But anyways, that's probably what's going to happen in that game.
Yeah, that's not bad. 2 minutes, you survived, bro.
Brad Davis?
Yeah, I mean, come on, Brad Davis. Honestly, if I was in goal, I would just be like, put it in, bro. It's cool. I want to say,
I guess. I tried, and I was so close, but he hit it like right on like the, what do you call it, the post. Like he I mean, yeah, 50-50, could have gone the other way, but yeah, it was just out of my reach, and I was close though, but not close enough.
So sad.
Yeah, so sad.
Yeah, we lost that game 5-0.
Only 5-0, bro. That's look at the positive, right? I mean, I think if Christian has taught us anything, it's always look at the glass half full. Yes, so please. It's only 5 goals. You're good. But then shortly after that meeting at Houston Sports Park, the Dynamo will be traveling to Tucson, Arizona, and they'll be facing Real Salt Lake, Colorado Rapids, and El Paso, and Phoenix Rising. So they have a ton of games looks like 5 days, man. In 5 days, they're playing 4 games. So any of those games kind of seem exciting to you guys?
Not really. I mean, they're just like preparation. So, I mean, it'll be cool to like win or whatever. But, you know, I think it's going to be a good way for us to be able to gauge where we're at, you know, kind of. Obviously, they don't go 100% maybe, but it'll be cool to see, you know, who's getting a start, you know, how they're communicating, you know, who's scoring and da-da-da and da-da-da.
For sure. And then after that, February 12th, Roger, you want to add something?
No, I'm just laughing because like they're not going to go 100%. I just remember, and Rudy knows this. Also, when I used to play, I was playing in a college team against the Dynamo scrimmage. And I know Rudy remembers. Who was the guy?
Bobby Boswell, man.
Yeah, Bobby Boswell. You remember. Some guy came in a little bit too late on the challenge. He's like, you think we want to play you guys?
Yeah, kind of actually talking about this before we recorded the last Orange Talk, me and Christian. And But no, yeah, it's just, of course, you know, those pros want to, you know, Real Salt Lake, Colorado Rapids, but then they're playing El Paso and Phoenix Rising USL teams. So, you know, competition should be a good one. And then again, they come back February 12th. They'll be playing at PNC Stadium. I wonder if that may be open to the public. Who knows? But they'll be playing the Broccoli boys. FC. Yeah, the boys from Broccoli FC. It looks like it's a 6 o'clock match. And again, there's no details yet if it'll be open or if there'll be tickets for those yet. And then randomly, they'll be playing in Austin against Toronto FC, the 16. And then they finish off, Rodrigo, you should go to this game. They play February 19th. They play against FC Dallas over there in Frisco with the Frisco boys. So
I might be in Houston that weekend, though.
So. That's funny.
But no, if they're here.
Running away from Dallas. I got it.
My brother, he's going to be over there. And he's like, you should come. I'm like, nah, bro. I ain't driving 4 hours.
For a preseason game?
Yeah, not by myself, at least.
Yeah.
Hey, it's 45 minutes from me, and I'm in Dallas.
So I know.
That's how far Frisco is.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess that's like the people that live in the Woodlands want to go watch a game. That's kind of how they gotta drive.
Shout out to Southern Oklahoma.
Right.
And then the first season or the first training session prior to the home opener is February 22nd, and again the 29th. Right? Is it 29th?
Damn. Yeah, we're like a month away, dude.
I know. I need to make a post saying kind of like how time is running out. Sorry. February 27 is the game against Real Salt Lake. So it should be a fun one. Anything you guys want to add? I mean, I think we touched on everything we wanted to touch on. But if not, Christian, tell the people where they can connect.
Yeah, man. You can always find us and everybody at Dynamo Theory on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us at dynamotheorypodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, anything like that. Also, don't forget, if you like interact with us, we'll try to interact back with you either on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at Chris Putalias. You can find Rudy at RudySegura3. You can find Rodrigo at RodrigoSegura01. And don't forget dynamotheory.com, where you can find everything there. You can find the podcast, all the articles. You can find the conversations we have with Memo and Marcelo, and the breakfast links Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. Yeah, yeah.
And Rodrigo, with no further ado, close this baby out, man.
Dino fans, thank you for listening. And also, Senor Gold, thank you. Don't forget, hold it down and keep it forever.